Hello.
Hello, Mel. I feel like I haven't seen you today.
Yeah, you've been deep in some editor-esque business.
I did a secret editor business thing this morning, though.
You did. You should tell everybody. They'll be so jealous.
I'll tell you guys. It's not advertising. Hey, you don't advertise. Though they should, because it'd be a really good fit.
It would be an amazing fit, Hey, you, if you're listening, but you're not.
You're not listening. So they did like a true crime breakfast.
Amazing.
It was all about their upcoming shows, one of which is the DNA of Murder, which is Paul Holes' show.
Yeah.
And being a Paul Holes fangirl, I was very excited. And I was hoping that he'd like appear from behind the curtain or something.
Been so good.
As a guest, but he's a very busy man. As someone that listens to the Murder Squad, he seems to be doing a million things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has a TV show. He consults on actual cases. He has the Murder Squad.
He's like a real actual.
He's not going to fly over to Australia.
Crime solver, not just a chat person.
But they did have the host and like the researcher and the brains behind Who the Hell is Hamish.
Amazing.
His voice is so amazing. He has such a nice voice.
Yeah.
They had him and they had the guy that did Snowball, the Unravel podcast.
Which I still haven't listened to, but I need to.
Yeah. So he's the head of Triple J,
mm-hmm.
and his brother is the one who got conned by the lady.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool. And there was also a forensic psychologist or a criminal psychologist man, and he was talking about actual cases. And then there was also an author who, like, visited a serial killer in San Quentin and sat with him for a woman, and she sat with him for 5 hours.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, so they all had really interesting insights into true crime and why we watch it and why it's interesting, and yeah, it was really cool. And then they gave us goodie bags, which were like evidence bags, which was funny. But Paul Holes wasn't in them, so
no I was Paul Holes jumping out. Not even a Paul Holes like grow your own boyfriend. That would have been cool.
And like they had cookies, but they didn't have Paul Holes's face on them.
What? This is a missed opportunity.
I feel like if I worked there, I would have been like, there needs to be a Paul Holes led event.
Yes.
Because he's what people are here for.
Exactly.
Like, I had to stop myself from wooing when they were like, and the DNA of Murder, like they're presenting the shows. I was with Tegan that we work with. And I was like, I'm trying so hard not to woo. Like, woo!
Woo! Woo!
Like, fangirl. But that was fun. It was cool to see the two podcast guys. And I introduced myself and said that we were big fans and mentioned our podcast, of course.
Of course. Always
they're
hustling.
Like, oh, Pedestrian, so supportive of podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, it's because we have our own true crime podcast, Aussie Mystery Hour. I'm the co-host. And by that point, he was like walking away. I'm like, give it a listen. Thanks, Ollie.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope he does. So that's what I was doing. And then I did come back and do editor stuff, and I feel like I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
Even though you sit next to me. So this is nice.
I also hustled the podcast. I went on a date last night and I don't know why we were talking about murder. I just feel like I just end up talking about murder. It's not intentional. I'm not going into it. I'm almost going into it saying, don't talk about murder.
Yeah.
You're going to freak them out. And then I started just talking. We were talking about like, this is such a like, it sounds like a really boring conversation, but it was really interesting. We're talking about like the differences in like kind of how you start seeing people that are like inverted commas evil.
Yes.
So like just the kind of context of somebody's bad behavior and like what leads up to it and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was very deep.
That's
combo.
A very
I
deep
know.
Date
it was weird. Anyway, and then I said, you know, like maybe not murderers. And he was like, well, no, murderers too. And I was like, what? Hell, you want to talk about murder? And he was sort of like, that wasn't what I was going for, but okay. And then I was like, well, I do this true crime podcast. And he was like, oh, and I was like saying how we are close to a million downloads, which is wild, guys. Like he was kind of asking about it and like how big it was. And then he goes to me, because we'd been talking about This American Life, and he goes, well, what level of like podcast celebrity am I talking to here? And I was like, oh God, no, not that, not any level of
they
podcast
would get a
celebrity.
Million downloads in like 10 minutes.
I know. But then he goes, okay, from if zero is me and Ira Glass, who's the host of This American Life, is a 10, where are you? And I was like, 2, maybe. Like, I was like yeah. really low. Take all of your expectations yeah. down.
This is just something
about 30 that we do. Million percent. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not like a huge deal.
No.
But we should be.
I mean, I would love to be a huge deal, but also I think I would be quite stressed about it. And every time people have come up to me, which I do love and still do it, and so yep. does Josie, who hasn't had it happen to her yet, no. but it will, I'm always like quite startled, like a startled bee.
You're not
because
like
I'm sort of like,
expecting
it. Yeah, because I'm just like going about my day and I forget all the time
yes.
who I am.
Whereas,
I'm not
like Tom
no,
Cruise.
No, that sounds terrible. I don't forget who I am. I just am Mel hanging yes. out. I'm not Tom Cruise.
And it is weird for someone to be like, hi.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Cruise would be so used to it.
Like exactly.
Someone of a huge level of celebrity would
he's probably always
leave the house
yes.
ready.
He's ready for...
To be like, hi, yep, I'm Tom
hello.
Cruise.
Yeah. I'm never ready for I'm not even ready for a friend. Like, if I run into someone that
yeah,
I know,
like, oh.
I'm a startled bee. I'm a startled bee at all times if I'm on my own walking around because I'm always, like, off in my own world.
Yeah.
Or some
music
shit.
Video.
Yes.
Feeling like you're in a music video.
But even those situations happen very rarely. Mm. I'm going to change it to I'd be a 1. On the scale, we'd be a 1.
I feel like we're a 2.
Maybe a soft 2.
A soft 2. We've got nearly a million downloads.
I know, which is crazy. And for a million downloads, we'll do some weird dance video for you or some shit.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. We'll come up with something.
And we were featured on that Spotify
yeah.
playlist in the UK.
If you're English and you're here, it's because of Spotify
yeah.
probably.
Yeah, they put us on like a little special featured thing.
Which is cool.
Which is very cool as well.
Love it.
We've been in Vulture once.
One time, like a million years ago now, but we're never letting it go.
Never letting
ever.
It go.
And that's probably kind of it, really.
I reckon that makes it.
We got
a
featured
two.
On Gizmodo, but that's only because Tegan's our friend.
Tegan's supporting us. We've got over 7,000 people in our Facebook
we
group.
We do, and if you're not there,
if you're
you go
not
to
one
Facebook,
of those people, then you should be.
You should be. It's really fun in there.
It is fun.
We're heavily involved, probably too invested. Probably could do with like stepping back a little. I think even the people in the group were kind of a bit like, okay,
too
can
much
you not
Josie
comment
Mel.
On every fucking thing that I do? Like, the shine has worn off and
now
you're sort
you're
of
just ordinary.
Stopping other people from commenting. You're giving the answer too quickly. Stop it. Chill out.
All Aussie Mystery Hour
yes.
on Facebook.
Yes.
Type it in search. It'll come up.
It'll be there.
Join. People share true crime stories, talk about the episodes, talk about weird things that have happened to them,
mm-hmm.
spooky stories, weird shit. And then just off-topic things, which might be really off-topic if you're new to the podcast, if you wonder why people are talking about cheese or John Wick
mm-hmm.
or sharing pictures of their pets and horses,
mm-hmm.
and you might be like, what? But it's all because we talk about that stuff
it's
on the podcast.
It's the beautiful tapestry of this podcast that doesn't really
like that.
Have any lines as boundaries.
No it, lines.
They keep
yeah.
getting pushed out or blurred or
yeah.
rubbed out.
It's like the more bad reviews we got about going off topic, the more off topic we went.
Yeah.
Because we're like, fuck you then. We don't want you here.
And we haven't been able to do mystery minutes for a while, so we
no.
just keep talking shit at the beginning
yes,
of our episode.
Like right now.
But I don't care because you know what? The fast forward button's there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to. And if you want to know when we start the mystery, we put it in the podcast notes.
Yes.
Also along with links to the credits that have links that we've
yes.
referenced, and they can be good because sometimes, like Farlap, for example, I referenced this whole long interview
that you didn't want to read.
Sweet Tommy, sexy Sweet Tommy.
Who I threw under the bus.
Oh my God, it's Friday. I missed Thursday crush, sexy mystery crush. I'm going to do it for Friday
yes.
because there's no rules here, guys.
Flashback Friday.
Whatever. Who cares? No one cares, okay? There's no, don't expect much from us, okay? And you'll be happy.
Yeah, we have no rules.
We're like a really shitty boyfriend. Who, like, sometimes gets your present for your birthday and it's really good, but then sometimes forgets, like, what your name is, you
yes,
know?
But he's adorable and you
but
love him
sweet.
Anyway.
And it's just because he's kind of, like, vague and, like,
self-involved.
He has so many good qualities. So you keep him around even though
yeah.
he's, like, a bit shit with some things.
He's, like, drifty.
He's drifty.
That's us.
That's us. We're the drifty boyfriend that you love, but also drives you insane sometimes.
And, like, you know, you make a date with him on a Tuesday, but he doesn't show up till Friday. Yeah. That's our episodes.
That's our episodes.
I don't even know when this one will
show up. There's no date anymore.
Edit it on the train.
You don't get a date anymore because we don't know what we're doing anymore. Everything's up in the air.
It's because Bachelor keeps coming on and ruining our days.
There's a lot of things happening, guys. And you know what? It's fine.
But you're getting one a week, pretty much, unless one of us is definitely ill.
It arrives. It's also, we're like a drifty boyfriend. We're also like that weird Etsy store. That's got really good shit, but like the ordering is all over. It's like skew-iff everywhere.
Find
and sometimes it just shows up 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't show up for 3 months, but it comes.
Sometimes you press order and then you get an email saying, oh, sorry, we don't even have that.
Yes.
That happened to me the other day.
Mm.
It wasn't Etsy. It was another store in the US and it was an amazing AC/DC shirt.
And they didn't have
it. And they're like, sorry, we don't have it any size. Bye. Here's your money back. I was like, I don't want my money back.
I got excited. I did the process and now I expect my reward.
Now I'm upset. I can't find it anywhere.
Well, I don't think we're like that side. I think we're more
a nice
nana who knits like cool hats for you. And then she is a bit like terrible with the post and stuff. Or like my eBay account. Like I am what we are to the podcast is me to my eBay purchases because I always take a million years to send them their shit.
Yeah.
But they get it eventually.
And then they love it.
And if I'm fuck it up, I try and express post it. And when we fuck up, we like post a weird video for you or some shit to like make up for it. Anyway.
Yes. But it's here. You know what?
Your drifty boyfriend / terrible Mel eBay / Etsy shop. We're here.
That's what matters.
I'm not even drunk.
We're not.
I sound drunk, but I'm not drunk.
For so long.
I know.
In here.
No. Because
you felt weird about being the only drunk person.
I don't want to be the only drunk. I would be the worst thing to edit, me as the only drunk person. You'd be like, why is she still
Shades
talking?
Shades of the Mystery Minutes with Alicia. Mm-hmm. Alicia were two drunk people.
Exactly.
Do you have any other zesty asides?
No.
I don't have any more. I actually did hear a crazy story from one of our workmates, but it's so good I'm going to make her do a Mystery Minutes.
Okay, good.
It's Lucinda.
I was going to say, we should do, maybe we will try and possibly fail, but let's try, because it was your idea, to do a Mystery Minute of scary stories for Halloween.
Yes.
We will try and do it.
Yes. Okay.
Whether it happens?
Who knows?
Hands in the air. We don't know.
Well, you're not just listening then. We're drifty boyfriends. It probably won't happen. But the thought's there. You know that we're good inside. The drifty boyfriend's a good person.
I feel like we're trying to like validate like shitty boyfriend behavior of like not prioritizing your needs.
We hate bad boyfriends. Why are we justifying these terrible boyfriends?
Anyway.
Anyway, that might happen.
Or it might not. You'll see. It'll be a fun little
present. That's part of the mystery. Will it happen? Will it not?
Mystery Minutes is literally a mystery in and of itself.
Okay. So I'm telling you a bit of a... It's kind of weird because I feel like it's just a yarn.
Oh.
Like I feel like we can't... Well, we might be able to, but there's not like a lot of room for theories or anything.
That's okay. Sometimes those are fun.
But there's still a mystery.
Yeah.
And it's just a really zesty story that I came upon.
Okay.
One night when I was... wondering what to do next.
Yeah.
Not just generally my life.
when I was having an existential crisis.
I went on my phone and I Googled Mysteries Perth because I was just looking for another city.
I mean, when I'm having an existential crisis, I do just Google Mysteries Perth.
Perth. I was kind of looking for like something zesty and supernatural maybe or just something weird. And this is just like a straight up murderer.
as is your way.
But it's still an interesting story. So I have some credits first.
Yes.
The West Australian by Tim Clark, September 2016. The West Australian by Grant Taylor, October 2015. ABC News, David Webber, October 2015. ABC News, Natalie Jones, April 2016. And the WA Coroner's Court Report, the inquest into the death of Sarah Lee Davey.
So it's about the inquest into the death of Sarah Lee Davey?
Well, it's part of it.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell it in a bit of a... I'm going to spin the yarn.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm kind of going to move... it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie, you know?
Yes.
Like the timeline's a bit fucked up, which does bother me as a Virgo, but this is how I think it should be told. So In August 2014, 37-year-old former Navy mechanic Richard Durrer, I think it's Durrer, D-O-R-R-O-U-G-H, Durrer?
Durrer.
Durrer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good enough.
I'm going to say it a hell of a lot. He went to the Lone Rangers shooting gallery in Belmont, which is a suburb of Perth.
Mm-hmm.
According to the West Australian, when he arrived, he hired a pistol. And basically at these shooting galleries, the guns are wired to face away from the shooter toward the target. I don't want to go into too many instructional details, but he actually freed the gun from the wire, turned it on himself, and died by suicide at the scene.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm loving this spun yarn.
It's spun, isn't it?
You've given me a mystery off the
the end.
Right off the bat.
So before he went to the shooting gallery, ABC News reports that he mailed a package to his partner containing his computer, phone, and an exercise book which contained a suicide note. And according to this article, the note read, "I did kill 3 times. It's the hardest thing to live with."
Whoa.
Right.
Imagine just getting that.
I know.
I'd be like, well, can you not put this on me now?
Yeah.
Like, is this an ex-partner?
I'm actually not sure. It just said partner. Could have been an ex. But it's just like, you're already sad enough that someone's, well, maybe. You're shocked, you're rattled, someone's committed suicide. And then you've got this element. And there were no names or anything. I did kill 3 times. The rest of the note hasn't been made public, but that part has. Now we're going to backtrack. Who was Richard Durrer? So he was born in Bundaberg in Queensland in 1977. And he had a troubled childhood, with the West Australian article, the Grant Taylor one, reporting that he'd been sexually abused by a close family friend from the age of 9. He lived in Queensland until 94, and then he moved around the country because he joined the Navy. And he was on one of those patrol boats that kind of goes around the perimeter.
I didn't know they exist, but I kind of love it.
My cousin was in the Navy, so I have like a working
knowledge.
What a
delightful way to see this country.
Yeah. So he actually kind of lived in almost every state apart from Tassie and South Australia. Mm. They kind of backtracked and went over his timeline. So he was on the HMAS Geelong.
Or Geelong, if you mean.
If you mail. So they have kind of different postings and they dock at different wharves around the country.
I have so many questions about this already.
Really?
Well, I just want to quickly go, how many boats do this perimeter check? Because, like, you'd need a few. Otherwise, they've gone past. They're not going to be back for, like, a year.
They don't even be back for so long.
Let's do all of our drug smuggling now.
Like, they watch it go past. Yeah. They're hiding behind a bush in the ocean.
And they're, like, slowly carting their, like, cocaine blocks out. And they're, like, real slow.
Yeah, they're gone. I'm not sure if anyone's in the Navy in the group. Yeah, tell us. Or I could just ask my cousin.
I'm going to assume there's more than, like, one boat going around the country.
Yes, I'm sure there's a few, and I'm sure it's very organised.
And not at all how it is in my head.
Not at all like they're crashing into each other.
And just like going up each other's back, like a little
They both
clogged.
Show up at Darwin. It's like, we're both like,
you've
here.
Gone too fast.
There's no one at Broome. What are you saying? So he also lived in Auckland in New Zealand for a few months. And before his death, he had 2 kids and was in the process of becoming a Jehovah's Witness. Okay. So apparently the thing saying it was hard to live with was to do with, like,
his conversion. Yeah.
So when the suicide note with Dora's confession was brought to WA police's attention, they had the task of tracing back through his life to see if they could identify any of these 3 alleged victims, since he very helpfully did not do that in the note.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of hate that he did that, because it's like, you're only half confessing.
Yeah.
Like, just don't say anything. Like, what's the point of just saying you killed 3 times? Like, give the names.
Yes.
Then, you know, maybe Jesus will be like, oh, God, or whatever. I'm not religious. And we'll like, be like, okay, you'll come to heaven. You've helped these families.
Yeah.
He's not going to, because you killed people.
Yeah.
But it's just such a cunty thing to do.
Well, it's just weird as well. It's sort of like, if you're going to admit to it, at least, why wouldn't you just admit to the whole shebang?
Like, this half confession sucks.
It's weird.
So looking back through his criminal records, police found a couple of strong clues about who the victims might have been.
Okay.
Since he was linked to a murder,
yeah,
an attempted murder, and a mysterious disappearance during his life.
Oh.
So looking at it now chronologically, because I'm a methodical Virgo, and that's my brain. I'm a meth addict. No, I'm not. That's not funny. So
it is funny if you just dropped in the middle of a podcast.
Since I'm a meth
addict. This is going to be the where I do the big reveal, guys, to everyone.
This is how I operate.
I've decided to make the podcast this big and also not tell anyone in my life, and now I'm going to drop it.
Well, it's like how I said I was pregnant on the podcast and, like, hadn't told of friends.
So
and
funny.
They called me that day, and I was like, oh, fuck. I told all my podcast friends.
Your podcast friends got to know before, like, you're, like, IRL long-term friends.
Actual friends. Luckily, I didn't mind. Okay, so the first case Dora was linked to was that disappearance of Sarah Lee Davey in the WA city of Broome in 1997.
Right.
So at the time, he was 19 and he was posted to the HMAS Geelong, and it was docked in Broome and he was on shore leave. So that means they can go...
Hang out,
have fun. They're not, like, posted. They're not on duty.
Yeah.
So Sarah Davey was 21. She lived with her family in Ardialoon, also known as One Arm Point, which is an Indigenous community town on one of the northern peninsulas of WA, like right up the top there. According to coroner's report, she drove to Broome on the 13th of January 97 with her parents and some other relatives, and then she parted ways with them in Broome to stay with a family friend, and they continued on to, is it Karratha?
Yeah.
And they planned to pick her up a few days later when they came back.
Yeah.
So when she got to Broome, she and the family friend and another male friend went out to a hotel bar for a few drinks. And then the friends left and she went by herself to another bar. While there, she met Richard Dora. The two apparently hit it off. Around 2:30 a.m., they decided to get a taxi back to the wharf where the HMAS Geelong was docked. According to the ABC News article, they were stopped by able seaman Dean Mildenhall, who was working watch that night.
Right.
And he refused to let Dora onto the ship, I'm guessing, with the civilian, because that's against the rules.
Yeah. He's trying to sneak a girl in and it's not going to work.
Not going to work, mate. Nice try. Apparently, the people on the ship didn't really like him because he fancied himself a bit of a ladies' man.
He sounds like a ladies'
man. Yeah. So
based off this one person that he's hit it off with.
You're like, how
I'm like, he flirted with somebody and then wanted to go and have sex with her. Whoa, what a... Lothario.
So two fishermen were also fishing off the wharf around the same time, because as we know from other cases, they fish at insane times of the day. So it was 2:30 and they were there. According to the same ABC News report, Mildenhall told the court during a coronial inquest that Dora then said, fine, he was going to take Sarah behind a shed, nearby shed, to have sex with her. Charming.
Have you talked to Sarah about this?
Well, when they disappeared behind the shed, one of the fishermen, whose name was David Jones, I think that's made up.
I mean, I feel like there are probably a lot of people called David Jones, but I can't handle it anyway.
That's so funny. If you're not from Australia, it's the name of a department store.
Yeah. It would be like someone being called, like...
Walmart.
Well, Mr. Walmart, yeah. But, like...
What do they have?
JCPenney.
Yes.
Like, but not the actual JCPenney, like, who's, like, dead, yes. I think, but, like, a new JCPenney.
Just the same name.
Just a new one.
David Jones. So he told the court he heard a woman's voice yell and scream, claiming that he heard her say, "What the hell are you doing? Get off me." So it sounds like ask her if he could have sex with her behind the shed. So then David Jones recalled hearing a splash, like someone, quote, throwing a stone in the water.
Oh.
And saw a man pacing up and down the wharf. A little while later, Dora came back to the ship and the night watchman noticed that he had scratches on his face, which weren't there before.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound...
And when he asked Dora about them, he just replied that Sarah wouldn't have sex with him and that she was gone now. But Mildenhall never saw her leave that wharf area.
Yeah, because she went in the fucking water because he's a fuckwit.
Yes, and she was actually never seen again. So her mother, Irene, reported her missing 2 days after the HMAS Geelong departed Broome for Darwin. So shortly after the ship reached Darwin, the West Australian article, the Tim Clark one, there's a lot of, like, same outlets, different writers, just trying to give them their correct credits. So that article reports that Dora was actually relieved of his duties because of his heavy drug and alcohol use. and he saw Navy psychologists, they put together a profile that said that he was, quote, more psychotic rather than neurotic in direction.
Oh.
And scored high on amorality.
Ah, so he, like, was kind of like a bit of a psychopath?
Yeah. And, like, they added he'd be expected to have angry outbursts.
Okay, so he's
so a... So psychotic is, like, when you're almost a bit delusional.
Okay.
So you're, like, making up scenarios or, like, right. imagining scenarios and reacting to those.
Yeah.
And, like, you can have these outbursts.
And amoral is, like, you don't really have... Well, yeah. A natural inbuilt moral
code, I guess,
for yourself. So it's kind of like you're more likely to do dodgy shit,
yeah,
and not feel bad about it.
Yes, sounds like a real charmer.
Mm-hmm.
So, a few months later, in April '97, he was actually questioned over her disappearance, but he was never charged.
How?
So, from what I can tell, it's because police actually received several statements that people had seen Sarah Lee around.
Right. Okay.
They'd seen, I think they got four statements that she'd been sighted after January 14. So I'm guessing they just didn't think there was foul play involved.
Mm.
And let's also face it, and her family has said this too.
Mm-hmm.
She's an Indigenous woman.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in this country and in many countries,
so many times,
that is not a priority
yeah.
for a lot of people and doesn't get a lot of media attention. And her family has said, you know, if she was a white girl,
yeah.
this would probably be solved. I found a few articles where her family were also saying she'd never have run away. So I'm thinking maybe police put that forward as a possibility yeah. as well. Yeah. But they said she wouldn't do that. And also her body was never found. So there was never that definitive she's dead.
Yeah.
But there was a cold case investigation after Dora's suicide. And all those so-called sightings were found to be unsubstantiated.
Okay. Well, I think we all know what happened here.
Yes. So we can, this is what I mean, it's like, can't really theorise yeah, that much. It's it seems kind pretty of like obvious.
They are technically unsolved, but yeah. also, let's all be honest. And I can't defame here because there's no one to defame.
Yeah, he's dead. We can say whatever is we want.
He most likely threw her in the river
mm-hmm.
after killing her.
So there was a coronial inquest into Sarah's death in 2016, the one I've been referring to, and the coroner, Barry King, handed down these findings. Quote, the coroner was satisfied that the death of the deceased had been established beyond all reasonable doubt, so they ruled that she was dead.
Mm.
But he was not able to find either how the death occurred or the cause of death, so they didn't even put it down to Dora at that inquest.
Yeah.
They just said they couldn't find the cause of death.
Well, I suppose they still can't.
Yeah. Oh,
it's complicated.
Yeah, without a body.
And he's also dead.
Yeah, and without, like, you know, they investigated him and clearly didn't, like, they didn't do it for months, so there was no, like, physical evidence or anything like that. Sarah's brother, Jeffrey Hunter, told ABC News outside the court, in our hearts and our minds, we know she's left us, so we know who's responsible, pointing out that the process had not brought justice but may lead to closure. So after Sarah's mysterious disappearance, the following year, 1998, a 29-year-old Sydney woman named Rachel Campbell was found murdered in the car park of St. Joseph's Church in the suburb of Rosebery.
Mm-hmm.
So Dora, coincidentally...
was in Sydney.
Lived just a few kilometres away.
What a coincidence.
From where she was. Coincidentally, I say, with flashing neon signs.
Yeah.
So Rachel was naked. She had four stab wounds to the neck.
Oh, God.
And bite marks on her arms. Semen was found at the scene in used condoms, but Rachel was working as a sex worker at the time.
Right.
So police couldn't definitively link that semen to her actual murder.
Yeah.
In another, I've written here, staggering coincidence, Dora moved away from Sydney shortly after Rachel's murder. God. From what I could tell, the case went cold until another crime in another state threw Dora back into the mix.
Right.
So now we're flashing forward to the year 2000.
Okay.
So in May, Dora was jailed in Queensland for deliberately running a man over in his car.
What the fuck? Oh my God, this is like the story of just a serial killer who just like starts to like escalate his shit.
Yeah, so when I found the article, it was kind of like, is this the serial killer that no one's ever heard of? Because he said, I've killed these people. And three makes you a serial killer. But then they haven't been able to, like, properly identify people. So it's, like, hard to call him a serial killer. Yeah. But he was calling himself one.
I mean, he kind of is.
Yeah. So the man didn't die. According to the West Australian article, the Grant Taylor one, the court found that Dora had earlier been attacked by the man.
Right.
Sorry, that was a quote. And a psychiatric report prepared for the court said that he'd been suffering from a, quote, depressive illness that had caused him to lose control and react extravagantly with all the violence he could muster. So there's those outbursts that the Navy psychologists were predicting.
It's weird because the Navy and the Army are very, like, hectic about mental illness and, like, you'd kind of, as far as I know, and again, I'm not an expert because I've never been in the Navy or the Army or anything, but I thought it was kind of like you kind of had to have your shit on lock in some way, like be on medication or be seeing somebody regularly to deal with these things and not be having your spontaneous outbursts and running people over with your car.
And, like, I'm guessing he was obviously not in the Navy at this point, but, like, where's their duty of care when you're not there
anymore?
Okay,
that makes more sense because I was like...
But if you get discharged, like, surely there's some kind of duty of care.
Yeah.
They can't just be like, this person's psychotic. Bye, good luck to you.
See you later. Take your little knapsack on a stick.
Yeah.
Off you wander into the gum trees.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I'm not sure how it all works.
I don't know either.
But maybe someone can enlighten us.
Yep.
So you remember I said Dora had reportedly been sexually abused as a child?
Yes.
Well, the trial judge actually found that that earlier trauma had played a part in this crime. It was a different person. But he said, and I quote the article, which quotes the judge, "Your case was a special one in that you were suffering the inevitable consequences of the child abuse inflicted on you. In your confused psychiatric state when you were assaulted," so by this person, "you tended to identify your attacker with the person who had destroyed your childhood."
Right.
So that's that psychosis, that, like, delusion that this person. Yes.
I was just listening to that song this morning.
Oh, I love that
Such
show.
A great song. Yeah, so anyone that hasn't watched The Sinner...
Stop now, watch it.
Yeah, stop now and watch it, firstly. Pause. Go watch it. Come back. Okay, cool. It's been a week. Great. Welcome back. But this isn't giving anything away. This is like the intro blurb of the story.
At the start.
Is that this woman... Actually, it does give it away, doesn't it? Because I can't tell the little hook without the other bit. Anyway, whatever. I can't tell you about it. I'm not telling you because it's such a good show.
The song is the trigger, though.
The song happened
while she was younger.
Yeah, so the song that she hears at the beach is a trigger to something that happened when she was younger. I'm just repeating Josie at this point. and then she stabs somebody.
Yes, which happens at the very start.
Yeah, and then it's like the whole show is unravelling exactly why she stabbed this guy.
Yeah.
But it's very much, connected to that sort of triggers that you have to past traumatic events.
And lucky for her, she has a very nice detective on her side.
She does.
Who believes that it's linked to a trauma and...
Not just a random attack.
Yeah, she shouldn't be punished so severely.
Yeah.
And that's what this is a great segue because that's what this judge thought. He was actually given... Dora was given a pretty light 5-year sentence with a 12-month minimum for inflicting grievous bodily harm, and he only spent a year in jail. He ran over someone and, like, reportedly injured them pretty badly.
Yeah.
But as a result of his incarceration, his DNA was taken and it was kept on file. That's all fine. But in 2008, a cold case review tested the semen from the Rachel Campbell murder scene, and boom, what do you know?
Richard We've got Dora's a match.
DNA profile, and he was now living back in Perth. So he was extradited.
God, he moves around.
Yeah, he really does, which, no offence to people that move around a lot, but I find it sus.
It's very sus.
It's drifty, it's shifty.
It's shifty, drifty, and sus.
And not in the fun
boyfriend
way.
It's like healthy, wealthy, and wise, but shifty, drifty, and sus. That's the second time this week I've referenced Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, a show I have not thought of since I was probably 8 years old.
What a show that was.
And it's like, it's literally so
Tanya
archaic.
Todman?
I don't even think it got filmed beyond like 1995.
My
but here we are talking about it.
That, healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Same.
And I don't think they're any of those three things.
I know, and they wouldn't even
have
been that old.
Like, healthy and wealthy and wise.
They would have only been like 5 years older than we are. And they were just sitting there watching. Like, I'm not going to sit there and watch Healthy, Wealthy, and fucking Wise. I do not want to know how to be healthy, wealthy, or what. I would like to know how to be wealthy.
Yeah, that'd
but
be
not
nice.
Wise or or healthy, just no, wealthy.
I'd rather be shifty, drifty, just, and sus.
Yeah, same. I want to learn how to be shifty, yeah, drifty, and sus.
Where's that instructional TV
Make
show?
Make me that TV show. Yeah,
we're like fucking we can host chopper it. Host it.
Yes. Okay, better. Better person.
Oh, God.
Chopper's hosting it. And then, like, you've got, like, he just brings in mates of his, yeah, that are like, also, like, someone that's shifty.
Gangland figures.
Someone that's drifty.
This is how you counterfeit money. This is how you murder someone and cover it up.
Feed this is how you kids. Fake your own death to get out of your problems.
You know what I've always wondered?
Yeah.
You know when you watch a movie or a TV show or whatever, someone needs to flee the country and they need a fake passport and they always have, like, a connection, like a kind of dodgy yes. connection. Sometimes I think about who that connection yeah. is in my life that might have that
ability.
Sketchy,
my sister's
like,
a
contact.
Designer, so she could just do it for us.
Kate's like, no, you've revealed my secret side hustle.
This is my side hustle. I'm making people fake
I'm
passports.
Thinking of El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie.
Oh, okay.
Where there's that bloke that was in the show as well that, like, his whole job is to just, like, disappear people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is that in my life?
Yeah, like, who's got the secret game yeah. connections here?
I think I know, but I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, tell me afterwards. I don't have anyone. I've got no one.
I think I semi-do. Oh, I've got dodgy friends. So, speaking of dodgy, back to Richard Dorra.
Yeah.
He was extradited from WA and eventually charged with Rachel's murder.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't – this story is just wild. I don't understand what kind of, like – who blessed him from above. But here we go. During court proceedings, he admitted to having sex with Rachel and biting her arms.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to her murder, he pointed the finger at one of her ex-boyfriends. And get this, the jury believed him and acquitted him
even
and let him go.
What? But did they have, like, did no. they know about Perth and Sarah?
No.
I mean, sorry, Broome and Sarah?
I don't think
so. Oh, my God,
so.
Did they know how shifty, drifty and sus he was?
I don't know. And they... And I looked it up and I don't think anyone's ever been charged with Rachel's murder.
I'm sorry, just
murder.
Saying, oh, it was her ex.
It was the boyfriend. Oh, okay. Off you
oh,
go.
Fine. Even though you've bitten her arms and you just conveniently have your semen in her car.
Yeah.
And you're shifty, drifty and sus.
Yeah.
Like.
It's just, no. they let him go.
Maybe he's really good at pretending to be, like, nice seeming, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Like a Ted Bundy vibe.
Maybe. If you look at his photo I'll put in the group, he fucking looks scary.
Okay, well.
Like
I also just have good intuition.
He looks unhinged.
That he's bad.
But yeah, so he was acquitted. He returned to WA a free man, and not much is really known about his movements until his 2014 suicide and that confession letter.
Jesus.
So yeah, I just don't understand the luck. Like, oh, you ran over this man, a year in jail.
And what, like, it's
oh,
not
you
like...
were the last person to see a woman. She scratched your face.
There were witnesses
heard her screaming.
Yeah.
And then heard a splash. But that's fine. You probably didn't have anything to do with her disappearance.
That is, like, fucking insane to
just
me.
Just don't understand how many times this guy can get away with shit.
And then what I kind of want to know is, like, were they – and, I mean, this isn't, like, you know, ye olde times.
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm assuming that they would be have a file, like Australia. I don't know. Does because you know how in America –
they don't communicate.
Yes.
The murder squad talk about this a lot. Like, yes. get very frustrated.
Like, wouldn't you have just a national log?
Yeah, of this, like, guy did this.
Every single murder.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, like, because when he committed suicide, they looked at his record and
yeah.
looked back at these cases. So surely.
There must be something.
Surely you're in a you have a national police record. Otherwise, you would be like a Ted Bundy and just go from state to state. Murdering people willy-nilly.
But then, you know what it would be? If you get acquitted, surely you can't be on there because that
yeah,
would
right.
impact on all your future jobs. Like, yeah. you know, when why am I thinking about this? I'm like, you know when you apply for a reality TV show and then they're like, have you done any shady shit? Have you got a police record? And you have to, like, answer.
Yeah, right.
Like, so, it wouldn't be fair to have someone that got acquitted by a jury
yeah.
on a police record.
Yeah, the Sarah... In the Sarah case, he would just be in police records as, like, someone that was questioned.
Yes.
And same with the Rachel Campbell murder.
Yeah.
The only one that would be showing up is when he actually got put in jail for running over
exactly.
that man.
Exactly. And then, therefore, I can kind of see, really, what we have learned today What we've learned is the friends we've made along the way, but also what we've really learned is that if you just go around Australia and murder people, you're probably going to maybe get away with it, as long as you don't get caught doing any of the murders. But if you murder people all in one town,
then people
that's
will
a
know.
Silly idea for you.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Wait, are we instructing people? We're instructing
I don't know. You know why I'm thinking about it? Because there was that person in the group today that put in the meme about, like, how boyfriends that are scared because their girlfriends watch too many true crime shows.
Which had been shared before, but what she said was so funny.
What she said was, that's why I let it go. Because usually, like, and again, we've talked about this a lot, but, like, if your thing gets declined, it's 9 times out of 10 because it's already been posted in there.
Yeah.
And the 1 out of 10 is if I'm like, this could start, like, a riot in the group and we're stressed about it, so we just delete it.
Yep.
Sorry, but we're just trying to keep the peace for as long as I feel like we feel like crazy sort of, like, school teachers on a windy day trying to like keep the peace of the crazy kids
in the
and
group.
At any point they could go
psycho.
Because
a lot of these groups go to shit.
They do.
Yeah.
And we've been in them when they've gone to shit. So we're just trying not to let it go to shit. But the point being, usually memes have been going off, doing
times.
The rounds. But her, her writing was so funny because she wrote all the different ways that you should kill someone.
One, feed to the pigs.
Yes.
Two, mincer.
Yes.
Three,
I can't remember the third one.
Oh, what was the third?
I have no idea.
It was so funny. And then she was like, I've got this. I've got this.
Yeah, I've got this sorted. And then, but like, that's the thing. Like, look, we're not saying no one go murder people
no
around Australia.
No one feed anyone to pigs.
But I kind of see how he got away with these murders.
Yes.
And then it makes me wonder.
But then it's wild because usually it's like, okay, fine. With the Sarah Davey thing, there was no like physical evidence. There was one man saying he heard something, but you never know. There's no like, it's all a bit circumstantial, as they say. There's no hard evidence and there's no confession.
Yes.
But then with Rachel Campbell, there's semen at the scene. He's admitting he had sex with her, but because she's a sex worker, it's like,
yeah. And that's the other thing, isn't it? And that's why a lot of serial killers like get away with things, is they prey on minorities or groups of people that, you know, generally the police excuse things away, which is fucked, but like,
yes.
Indigenous people commonly, like you said, don't get the kind of attention from police that, and or have also have a lot of like stigma, not stigma, like stereotypes that impact them when horrible shit happens to them. Like, you know, there's like, oh, well, you know, like I remember listening to, what was that podcast called? Wrong Skin.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about the disappearance of, or the murders of a girl and a guy from a semi-remote Kimberley community.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was that, things I think didn't get investigated for a while because they were like, they probably just ran away or something.
Yes.
And that happens all the fucking time.
And the same with sex
even when
workers,
the family's like, no, like, they don't run away. Like, they don't have.
I'm telling you.
A family's not just going to be like, oh, like they don't run away ever if the kid runs away all the time or some shit.
Yeah, I just feel like you wouldn't lie.
You wouldn't even fucking report it yet. You'd probably be like, they probably ran away.
Yeah.
You know?
You're reporting it because it's something out of character.
Exactly.
And then with sex workers, it's like, oh, well, they're putting themselves in danger.
Yeah,
like,
it's fucked.
You know? But no. Like,
that's
that
not.
Doesn't mean that
a sex worker doesn't want
to
get
murdered.
Yeah.
And we should still be looking into it, and then the media doesn't give it the attention, so it doesn't get the legs.
Yes.
When there's media attention and then public demand for a result, then the police have the pressure on them and they continue to look into it. But when there's not that pressure, then these cases just fall to the bottom of the heap.
Well, that was like all that talk around when Eurydice Dixon was murdered in Melbourne, and it was got such national attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people, and it's not a like, you know, don't talk about her, only talk about this thing or anything. It was just kind of like brought up the conversation around all these other women that died in mysterious circumstances or like problematic circumstances where somebody definitely murdered them or domestic murders and things like that, where they, because they were just like, not a white young woman.
Yeah, or they were sex workers or transient.
Yes.
Or drug users. Or
yes.
Then it was like, oh, that's not the same.
Yeah.
And it's
but
like,
it
is the same because no one deserves to be murdered when they're just living their lives.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Murder Squad, which I've recommended in the group before. It's Paul Holes and Billy Jensen, and they talk a lot they cover a lot of cases about marginalised people, which I think is awesome. And they treat it with the same passion and interest as, you know, people that aren't sex workers and aren't Indigenous.
And you know what the thing is that I reckon is it's not that the jobs are more dangerous. It's that, like, because you're like, oh, a sex worker is a more dangerous job because you're coming into contact with these types of, like, troubled people. I think it's literally that, no, people just go and actively prey on people in that job because we have this stigma around it.
And we've shown that
we,
like, the media and the police don't care.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, I can get away with it then.
So then people it becomes a dangerous job.
These people.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they have families and they have people that miss them, so it's horrible.
It is.
So basically all of this went public a year after the suicide. So I'm guessing that the police were like, fuck, investigated, retraced his steps. Like, there's a map I'll put in the group, all the places he lived. Like, they must have had to check his timeline.
Yeah.
And they then they took it public.
Okay.
And revealed that he'd, you know, confessed to murders and that they needed help kind of identifying who they were. So the Western Australian Special Crime Squad turned to the public for assistance. According to the ABC News article by David Webber, at the time, State Crime Assistant Commissioner Michelle Fife said, quote, "There is information out there that we don't hold, whether that be here in Western Australia, whether that be on the eastern seaboard or in New Zealand." So they even went across there to see.
Yeah.
It was only there for a few months, but just to see if any crimes matched. There are members of the public who knew Mr. Dora, who associated with him, who may very well recognise him, and they may hold the key to us solving an unsolved crime. She added, "We've reviewed all of our files. Mr. Dora's whereabouts has been cross-matched with all of the files that we have on hand, and we are unable to find any links at this time."
Mm.
So to wrap it up, basically we're pretty sure that he killed Sarah Lee Davey in 97 and Rachel Campbell in 98, but he was never charged with those murders. And there's also a third kill, remember, that he claimed. And that person he ran over didn't die.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, I got confused. Yeah, so I didn't get confused, but I just assumed.
There's one mystery.
One mystery murder.
And because he lived in so many places, it's almost like, will we ever find out who that third person is? And will Sarah and Rachel ever get justice? And will their families ever get closure? Because this suicide happened in 2014. They went public in 2015. It's now 2019. And I was Googling the hell out of this.
Yeah.
And nothing. He still hasn't been definitively linked to a third person or even these two.
Do you feel like, and I guess you can't even say this unless you are the families, but I feel like potentially I would consider this closure.
Yeah, if I were her brother Sarah said it was. He said it wasn't justice, but it was closure. It's
yeah.
And I think if you were Rachel's family, I couldn't find any quotes from them, but
it's pretty obvious.
But it just fucking sucks.
It does suck. But then you're not going to get justice regardless because he's killed himself. So
yes,
he's not going to jail, and he's not going to get brought before a court and shamed.
In court.
And well, then he was in court. Oh, and off then they you were go. Like, it's fine. You're fine.
I kind of get it. Like listening to a lot of podcasts and like. I know I keep talking about Murder Squad. We're also not sponsored by them, but I've just been listening a lot. But, like, Billy Jensen, being a journo, gets really passionate and, like, upset about this stuff. And he's like, you know, they should be – this is a ridiculous trial and this was – the police fucked up here. And Paul Holes, being the ex-police investigator, I think he worked for – did he work for the FBI?
I feel like he worked for something.
So he's coming from that side and he often has to say, yes, but I kind of explain the law and the reasonings. And so that's why it's really good. But, yeah, I know that you can't just go, well, it looks sus. He's shifty, drifty and sus. His semen was at the scene. Like, it's still, there might not be enough to definitively link it beyond a reasonable doubt, as they say. But it just is shitty, and it's just such a wild fucking story.
It really is.
To, like, half confess and then lead, it looks like a year they were on a wild goose chase around the country.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, match his movements to people's disappearances.
Yeah.
I wonder who that third person is.
You wonder if it's, like, a high-profile murder case that potentially he was the killer on.
Yeah. Maybe someone else went down for his crime.
Maybe.
Because if they couldn't link it to anything unsolved, maybe it's something in inverted commas solved.
Yeah.
And someone's sitting in jail, like, fuck. I think they actually looked into some Claremont
Oh, yeah.
Stuff with him, but then they found that guy.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really lining up the same way. Like, yeah. He seemed... Both Rachel and Sarah seem like he's, like, pursuing somebody in the sense that with Sarah, they obviously met up and hung out.
Yep.
With Rachel, it was probably, like, for sex work.
Mm.
You know, with the Claremont, it was that was like they were calling cabs and then they were disappearing. So it was a bit more different. Like but potentially being pulled into cars or being pretending to be a cab. But, I mean, he could have done that.
Yeah, but that definitely was a lot more calculated, whereas he seems, like the Navy said, to fly off the handle.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like Sarah denied him sex behind the shed, so he flew into a rage. We don't know what happened with Rachel. And then this other bloke, they had some kind of altercation.
Yeah.
He flew into a rage and ran over him, so he was different in that way.
Yeah, not so calculated potentially.
Yeah, so I wonder who else pissed him off that he.
Yeah.
But that's it. I just found it and was like, I've never heard of this.
That's wild. I've never heard of it either, and it's not that long ago, so no. I feel like I should have heard of it.
And I just thought everyone might find it interesting.
It was very interesting.
But it is a bit of an annoying one because it's, like, very open-ended. But they all are because this is all a mystery hour and everything's unsolved.
And maybe you're real buff on, like, solved Aussie murders and you can think of one that might sound like it could connect to...
To him, to his MO, as they say. But that's it.
Bye.
Bye.